Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
After a little break, we're back to kick off 2017 with our first Sports Time Radio podcast. I, of course, am the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call in, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, of course, I'm sure you remember the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for a new one of them tomorrow morning. But there is various content added throughout the week, so swing on over there, check that out when you get a chance. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like it while you're over there, well, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
So, oh, all right, Dan. I know we were gone for a few days, a nice little break, get ourselves all nice and recharged up with the holidays and all that stuff. But I want to go back to Friday because I actually did not know there was a UFC pay-per-view on until – the thing had probably started. Now, I know, you know, I don't buy them. You don't buy them. But the big deal, you know, the big hype, the return of Ronda Rousey, and, you know, everybody said the right things, Dan. You know, she looked great in training. You know, the weigh-in, you know, she looked really good weighing in. I actually saw that online. You know, everything seemed to be going as planned. She was a big betting favorite in Vegas. And it took all of 48 seconds for her to get knocked out. Is she done?
That was a weaker, one of the weakest knockouts I've ever seen.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, by now, if you haven't seen it, all you got to do is go online and you can watch the whole fight, all 48 seconds of it. It was just... you know, I mean, I mean, how do you want to describe it? Can you be dominating in 48 seconds? You know, I guess is kind of the way, you know, kind of the way to look at it. I mean, she literally was just kind of destroyed. And yeah, I'm just wondering now. I mean, she made a lot of money. You know, there are still obviously offers on the table for her to, you know, do movies, or I know at one point in time WWE was very interested in her. You know, maybe that's the route she goes. But, she, you know, she has other opportunities to make money. To be fair, she did get paid, I believe it was $3 million for this fight. You know, I think you and I could live on that. I don't know if somebody who's used to making that can live on that. But, you know, I mean, do you see her fighting again?
No, I think she jumped the shark.
Yeah, you know what I mean. To, you know, to give her credit. I mean, she put the, you know, the women's division on the map in MMA. You know, Dana White wasn't even going to use women at all until she came around. So you know, she's the main reason women are in the UFC. But, you know, what I'm wondering, Dan, and I don't know, maybe I'm off base here, but, you know, like, she trained in judo. Holly Holm, who she lost to earlier, trained, you know, exclusively in kickboxing. You know, now they have these girls coming up through the ranks who are literally just trained to fight MMA. Do you think that's what caught up with her?
No, I think it's almost like the Bray Wyatt hype. I think he was Damon Wayans in that.
What, she's going to come out and be fat when they take the robe off? Oh, no. But yeah, because you know, I, you know, obviously, you know, like she was trained as an Olympic, you know, an Olympic judo, you know, person. You know, that was her thing. So you know, she spent her whole life doing that. You know, like I said, Holly Holm was a kickboxer. You know, these girls coming up now, you know, they're trained in, you know, the basically mixed martial arts, all the disciplines, you know, they're used to mixing up at. Or, I mean, can we call her old? You know, I mean.
No, I really think after she suffered that first loss, when she did her, what do you call it, PR tour, you know, let everyone know how upset she was. She saw the fear, and she let it get to her. And I don't think she'll ever be on top of her game again.
So, yeah, I know. I did see Nevada gave her the 6-week medical suspension to make sure she is okay. This is nothing new. They do this quite a bit with fighters. Just to make sure they're recovering. But yeah, it's just kind of weird to call her old because she's all of 29. But, you know, I mean, when, you know, you start looking at it, I mean, her fights went from her ending them in a minute to her getting beat in a minute. And it happened really quickly. You know, I mean, she went from, you know, dominating, you know, whoever, to being dominated. And it just kind of weird, you know, the way it worked out. But, you know, looking here, I mean, she's got some, you know, apparently she's the lead in the remake of Roadhouse. I did not realize they were doing that, but apparently, yeah, she's Dalton in Roadhouse. If you remember, that was the Patrick Swayze character. So, you know, we'll have to look forward to that, I guess. But, you know, I don't know. I'm just kind of under the impression that, you know, she's kind of done here.
And that movie is going to go as far as the WWE move. I just don't see all the, she's not the Rock. You know, and I don't mean to make a comparison, but when you think of superstar status, personality-wise, and the charisma, you know, he's kind of set a standard. You know, he's what Hulk Hogan tried to be. And I think with a lot of these, you know, athletes, that's who they, you know, reach to be after their sport. And I mean, a machine like UFC behind her, I think, helped her, and her fighting helped her. But as far as crossing over the mainstream media, it's going to be short-lived, and we're going to see a 30 plus, you know, maybe like 33, 34 year old Rousey trying to get back in the ring. And it'd probably only be 28 seconds.
Yeah. Now, you know, yeah, the one thing, you know, I would worry about her WWE jump, if that's what they decide to do, because, you know, the one thing you have to be in wrestling now is a good talker. You know, your athleticism is only going to take you so far now. I mean, you could be the best wrestler in the world, and if you can't cut a promo, you can't get a job with WWE. You know, I mean, there are very, very few exceptions. You know, Brock Lesnar being one, they gave him Paul Heyman to do his talking. I don't know if they would do that with a Ronda Rousey. I don't know if she's going to be popular enough, especially after two really bad losses. You know, that, I mean, like, if she would have went out and lost this fight, say a 5-round decision or something, there's still a little credibility there. But I mean, we're talking about a fighter now who's been beat, you know, in a minute or less in her last two fights. So I don't know. And the fact that, yeah, her promos aren't rock quality. Now, of course, to be fair, not a lot of people's promos are rock quality, pretty much none. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, she's made a lot of money. You know, I would like to think she was smart enough to put some away and have enough to kind of, you know, live on or whatever. But yeah, maybe it's time. You know, she had talked about after losing the first fight about, you know, getting married and having kids. And I know she's been with this boyfriend for a while. Maybe it's time for her to move on to that part of her life. So, I don't know. Just want to, you know, one of those weird things. But yeah, now obviously they ran the pay-per-view Friday, not to conflict with the holiday and stuff. I just thought it was weird that all of a sudden we had a Friday pay-per-view.
Well, maybe with our time off, I just didn't pay attention. Oh, I don't pay attention to UFC that much to begin with. But I don't feel like there was enough promoting for this because we didn't even talk about this in the beginning of the month of December.
Yeah, you know, I had heard bits and pieces about it. You know, and like the weird thing is, you know, remember the Conor McGregor fight that got canceled? I think it was the first time they tried to do the second Nate Diaz fight. Remember, McGregor had a problem with doing all the promotions for the fight, and he didn't want to go out and do any promoting for it. They actually allowed Rousey to skip all that. She wasn't required to do any of the promotions or anything that went along with making this fight. That's how badly they wanted her back in the ring. So yeah, they allowed her to completely blow all that stuff off. And even at like the first initial press conference or whatever, she left right away.
Yeah.
You know, and the weigh-in was the thing. She weighed in and she left. So they really let her off the hook compared to how they do with their other fighters. And I just wonder if, you know, they would allow that again.
I mean, you can allow it all you want, but I think at the same time, it shows that her head's not into it 100%. If you're not willing to submit to all that crap that goes along with it, then you're not in it.
So yeah, and obviously, you know, the big money fight they were trying to build to, you know, with a Rousey win, they were trying to get that I think her real first name is Chris, but they call her Cyborg Santos. You know, people have been dying to see that fight for years, and Santos can't pass a drug test. She just failed another one. So between that and the Rousey loss, like you said, we're going to see a 30-plus-year-old Ronda Rousey, you know, back in the octagon. That may be when we actually see that fight. It may take that long to put these two together in the ring with everything that goes on with them, because, you know, they just don't do what's necessary to have the fight.
Well, and you've got to wonder, I mean, you know, just like I know, there's a time when you've got to admit to yourself if it's worth it anymore. And I mean, you and I both, $3 million, yeah, that's worth it. Oh, I don't have to do any of the promoting. I don't have to do anything but show up. I mean, I'll take a Ronda Rousey beating for a minute for even just $1 million.
Yeah. So, yeah, for $3 million for what she had to do, I mean, the toughest part was the training.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and you do wonder, you know, is maybe the fire gone? You know, because when you're at that kind of a level, you need that special, you know, that special thing going on inside you. And, you know, you wonder with, you know, all the fame and all the money and the movie deals and, you know, she did do the WrestleMania appearance, I think it was last year. You know, and there's always a lot of people knocking on her door looking to give her money to do things. You know, you wonder if maybe the harder things in her life, being fighting and training for fights, took a little bit of a back seat because, you know, she kind of knows she's got it made.
Yeah, and, you know, everything you had described about her having, you know, UFC being lenient, and it just seems like to me, like any good promoter, good or bad, however you want to call them, they're going to run their, you know, they're going to ride the horse into the ground.
So, yeah, you know, and I mean, obviously, you know, they wouldn't have paid her $3 million if she wasn't worth it. You know, and I know just from my Facebook feed on Friday night, there were a lot of people who either went to the bar to watch the fight or actually bought the fight. So they, you know, and that's just my friends. I can imagine what it was like everywhere else, you know, because I don't have a ton of, you know, UFC, you know, UFC fans on my, you know, on my page, you know, on my personal page or anything like that. So, you know, it definitely said something that these people were, you know, were looking for this. And of course that's because of her, you know, that's the name value she brings. Yeah. You know, I'm kind of, I don't know. What do we decide? I'm kind of in the camp that she's done.
I think we'll have to go with that.
So.
Well, I mean, and granted, we never got to her level, but, you know, being on the wrestling side of it, you know, you and I both talk about the fact that just going to see some old friends. But, which I think is the cool part about it, but it's the other half of it that neither one of us really care for. The drive, the sitting there, the spending your whole evening on a Saturday after working all week. It's like, I have no desire, because, you know, if you go once, you're going to get sucked back in. And the next thing you know, you're there once and once. You're spending more money than you're taking in. So.
Yeah, you know, I, you know, definitely one of those, you know, one of those fun things, but no desire, you know, not that I have anything better to do either. I just don't have any desire to do that. So, but all right, well, something, you know, I know you and I, well, we haven't really been together much to talk about it, but this was just kind of getting started when you and I were taking our little break here. But, you know, a little NHL action. Dan, the Columbus Blue Jackets are currently in first place in the Metropolitan Division because they have a 15-game winning streak going on right now. Yes. They actually put that on the line tonight. I know they're playing the Edmonton Oilers. I believe they are at home. Yeah, they're at home tonight against the Edmonton Oilers. They are, you know, part of the reason they're doing so well, they are first in the NHL in goals, averaging 3.5 a game. And they're third in giving up goals at 2.1 a game, and that's kind of the things you need to do. Their power play is first in the league at 27.5%. So they are on a roll scoring. On Saturday, the big matchup was the Blue Jackets were playing the Minnesota Wild. The Wild came in on a 10-game winning streak, I believe, and Columbus beat them 4-2. So, you know, this team is rolling along, and it's kind of weird, Dan, because, you know, we don't hear a lot of these names. I mean, obviously, I think the first name you and I are going to recognize is Brandon Saad because the Blackhawks traded him there two seasons ago. But, you know, other than that, you know, I'm kind of looking at their roster right now, Dan. Their leading scorer is Cam Atkinson with 37 points. I couldn't tell you much about him except he's the Blue Jackets' leading scorer because I'm looking at their stat page right now. You know, there are, you know, some names I recognize from, you know, years past. Seth Jones is a defenseman on the team. He was a top pick for, might have been Carolina, and it didn't work out, and they swapped him to Columbus last year. I only remember that because I had him on my fantasy team. But, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of kind of, you know, under the radar guys. You know, I'll always remember their goaltender's name because when Fox Sports 1 used to do an actual highlight show, they always had some fun with this goalie's name because his last name is Bobrovsky. So they always had a nice time calling his saves, throwing his names out there. He's 24-5-2 on the season, so not a bad role there, and he's got three shutouts. So yeah, I mean, you know, like this team is kind of rolling along, and I just don't know any of them, Dan. I don't know how that happened.
Oh, it's because they're in Ohio.
Yeah. So, well, you know what's weird here, and I mean, maybe this just plays to the idea of a team concept, but, you know, I mentioned Cam Atkins is their leading scorer with 37 points. That doesn't get him into the top five in the NHL. They don't have a top five guy in points. They don't have a top five guy in goals. And they don't have a top five guy. Well, yeah, they don't have a top. Oh, yeah, they've got one guy in plus minus top five. So even though, you know, they're racking up this huge win streak, they're really kind of doing it as a team concept here. So I don't know how much, how long can go on. I know they're getting close to the record. Penguins hold the record. I forgot if it's 16 or 17 or whatever. But I want to look and see here. They're playing Edmonton tonight. Edmonton is 19-12-7, so they're having a pretty good year. You think they keep it rolling? Or does Edmonton have a chance to knock them off tonight?
I mean, I think they have a chance to keep it rolling. But, you know, with the way hockey goes, they're three shutouts away from falling down.
So yeah, you know, and that, I think that's what kind of makes this even more impressive, isn't it? Is the fact that, you know, and the record, I had to double check here. It's 17 is what they would have to get to tie the Penguins. 17 straight is what the record is. But, yeah, I mean, I think that makes it even more impressive with the fact that, you know, they're this far along. And then when they had Columbus and Minnesota rolling, you know, that was even odder to see two teams with double-digit winning streaks, you know, in the NHL. Because I'm looking now, when you go back, it looks like the next highest one after Columbus is Toronto, who's won five in a row. So, you know, there's a pretty big gap when you get going on these things. I mean, 15-5, that's, you know, that's huge.
Well, they've got to keep it going. They want to hold on to the playoff spot.
Yeah, you know, the weird thing is, you know, even with this winning streak, they're only 1 point ahead of Pittsburgh in their division. So they came from a long way back, you know, kind of rolling, you know, with this thing. But it did get them, you know, to the top. They are the team in the NHL with the most points right now. Pittsburgh is right behind them. You know, oddly, Dan, your Capitals, with all this going on, have kind of dropped to fourth in the division. They do still have 49 points, so they're right there. But, you know, it's that's turning out to be a pretty tough division for your team.
Still early.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we're only coming up on, you know, we're not even to the halfway point yet. I mean, most teams have, It looks like the highest team has 40 games played. And I think the lowest, oddly, believe it or not, Columbus is the lowest with just 35. So not only are they on a huge winning streak, but they're on a, you know, they have quite a few games to go. So, yeah, just kind of interesting. Now, did you get to see either of the outdoor games over the weekend? You know, obviously the one we were more interested in is, you know, the Blackhawks were last night, or, well, yesterday afternoon. And then I think the day before that it was Toronto and Detroit. Were you able to catch any of those?
No, I honestly, I totally forgot. And then with the Hawks thing on Monday, I just, you know, early afternoon, I'm not thinking anything.
Yeah, you know, and they played in, you know, the same place that the Cardinals play baseball. I forgot what it's called now. I don't think is it Bush? It's not Bush anymore, is it, right? Is it still Bush? I thought they had a different name for it.
No.
So they, you know, they played there. They had a huge crowd. They had obviously a sellout, over 46,000. So, you know, it went kind of how the NHL had hoped it went, except for the fact that the Blackhawks really stunk the ice up in the third period and ended up getting beat 4-1. So, but other than that, yeah, it was an interesting game. The Blackhawks wore some very odd black helmets that were just kind of strange. But yeah, you know, they had some concerns. You know, it was a little warm. They were supposed to get some rain. Luckily, all that stuff held off. So they did get it in. Not that it helped the Blackhawks any. So
did they only do two this year then?
Yeah, I believe so. I don't know if they have any more planned. Because, you know, I know sometimes they do, they will do a few more throughout the season. But, yeah, I think they only had the two over the weekend. So, and how did your fantasy team do, your hockey team? Are you, are you rolling?
I'm still below 8. I think I'm in 11th now. I'm pumped up a little bit. But I'm up against the number.
I had an injury over the weekend. I have Marcus Kruger of the Blackhawks. He went on IR, so I had to go out and hunt up another guy to fill his spot while he was gone. But I did manage I did have a winning week last week, so I was okay there. I've just got to keep rolling. I've actually moved into the 8th spot. I'm playing the 7th team this week, so if I can, you know, if I can get a win, I can probably move up another spot. But you know, yeah, I had a 9-6-1 week last week, so not too bad.
No, I was 8-4. So. And then I was
so, yeah, you know, I'm yeah, you know, I went out and I found a face-off guy. I had to make a change. You know, I went out and I picked up a face-off guy, so that helped me out quite a bit last week. It didn't help, obviously, losing Kruger because, you know, he was a big deal for you know, for my face-offs as well. But oddly, and I don't know how this happened, but I was looking at the rankings. I had to pull them back up to double check. And for the season, Dan, I actually have the guy ranked at number 1 and the guy ranked at number 4.
Pretty nice.
So, yeah, I don't know how that happened. And neither of them are Patrick Kane. That's the funny thing. Kane was number 1 going in. And, yeah, he is. I don't even know if he's on the top 20. 5. Yeah, I gotta hunt Patrick Kane down. Oh, I probably could have done it the other way and saved myself trouble. There he is. He's actually 33. So he was number one overall coming in, and he's down to 33. So my jinx has worked. I have pretty much officially killed Patrick Kane. But we were talking a little bit about Cam Atkinson with the Blue Jackets. Coming in, Dan, he was the 140th ranked player. He is 12 right now.
Oddly, I have number 13.
So it looks like, it looks like he made the second biggest jump. If you would have picked up Eric Staal, who was the 202nd ranked player, he is currently 10th. So that would have been, that was probably a really good investment there for, whoever landed him. But, luckily for me, I'm not the only one who's suffering with a little bit of a jinx. I won't hold Steven Stamkos against you because he got hurt. But, like Jamie Benn was ranked 4. Somebody paid a lot of money for him. He's 31st. Guys a little farther down. John Tavares, who I was really interested in, he was number 11 overall. He's 81st now. So he's really having, a down year to start. And again, we're only about halfway through. Some teams are at about 40 games. But, one of the reasons Washington is scuffling a little bit, and I'm going to butcher the name, but it's Evgeny Kuznetsov. In our league, he was ranked 17th coming in. He's 271st now, Dan. So not only did he struggle for whatever fantasy owner picked him up, but he struggled on the ice as well.
Well, I figured with, having Justin Williams over there, Ovi, and then I believe they picked up TJ Oshie.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. So, I just thought this team was going to be monstrous.
So, yeah, and then, no surprise, the top two goaltenders are Devin Dubnyk from the Minnesota Wild. He's the top goaltender with the winning streak they went on. And then Sergei Bobrovsky is number 2. Obviously, the Blue Jackets currently on that streak. Bobrovsky was 142nd. So if you went with him as your number 1, it really kind of dropped into your lap there. Goaltending still something I'm struggling at a little bit here. My guys are not. I didn't spend money on a top guy. I tried to, but I kept getting beat out. So, we'll see how my guys hold up and if they can get me through the year. So, but I did see one of your guys made the first page here. There you go. Martin Jones made the first page. So you got one guy up there.
Well, he's the San Jose goalie.
So.
Now, time to let you brag a little bit. We did, the fantasy football playoffs wrapped up this weekend. I, in the Snake League, was number 4. I dropped 3 places and finished at the 7th spot. Had a bad couple of weeks. No thanks to, whatever. But you, on the other hand, won.
Yes, I won the auction league. So.
Which is not your favorite, actually, either.
Yeah, I still don't understand that one at all. I guess maybe I'm getting better at it. I got a pretty big, pretty big, ended up being a lot easier win than I thought. I was quite surprised it worked out that way. But I will take it. I believe I managed to win one of the football leagues last year. I don't remember which one it was. So I think that's two years in a row, I've stumbled into a football championship. Oddly, you know, in the playoffs there, I beat my friend Greg, who I work with, and he avoided me all day at work today, so I didn't even get to rub in his face. But I have to look here and see if I did. Maybe it was baseball. I know I won a baseball league. I don't know. We do so much stuff, I can't keep track of them anymore. So, no, it must have been baseball. I didn't win football last year. So, but either way, you know, it's a nice win. I'll take that. I was pretty happy. That helps my, you know, my fantasy profile, right?
Exactly. So, I mean, what would you say was your winning key this year? No injuries? Your draft?
No, I, you know, I, yeah, I kind of, you know, wish I had a huge secret to it that really paid off. I just kind of, you know, just kind of got, I don't want to say, you know, maybe lucky, or I guess I just spent my money in the right places. You know, I was a little concerned, you know, I had AJ Green, and obviously he was huge for the year. And then, you know, he got hurt late. And I was lucky enough, you know, like I had LeSean McCoy, who I was really high on. And I know, you know, a lot of people didn't like, I was able to land him. He had some really, really good games for me. And then, you know, this is the two tight end league. So what I did, or not the two tight end league, this is the flex position league. And the wide receivers were going, and, you know, we start three wide receivers as it is. And I was looking for a flex guy. And with running backs so devalued, what ended up making it for me is I ended up using two tight ends. And I had Antonio Gates of the Chargers and Delanie Walker of the Titans. So I ended up with two top tight ends. And it really ended up paying off for me, because they both went out and had really good years. And they were just better choices than going with, like, a third receiver on a team. Like, I tried it for a little while. I had Quincy Anunua with the Jets, and he just wasn't doing enough for me. And, you know, like, I looked for the extra running back, and I couldn't find the extra running back. And I was just kind of like, screw it, I got these two really good tight ends, I'm just going to play these two tight ends. And it kind of paid off for me.
Now, with those two tight ends, you know, they're number ones for those teams, but do you think for those two respective teams that those guys may have come down under the radar, being, you know, Tennessee and San Diego?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, when you go to San Diego, you know, they've been saying Gates is washed up for I don't know how long now. And oddly, you know, they drafted a tight end this off season, and everybody kind of thought, okay, this is it, he's gonna be replaced. And he just kind of, you know, he went out and had a really good year. And, you know, it just kind of worked out for me. And, you know, I like tight ends on teams that run the football, because they have a tendency to throw to them a little more. They run that kind of shorter passing game. So I thought Walker would be a good fit with Tennessee. That and the fact that they don't have a standout wide receiver. You know, he doesn't really have anybody to compete against. So I thought they were two pretty good choices. And, you know, that was really, really the thing that paid off for me. So as weird as it sounds, yeah, by using two tight ends, it really helped me win. You know, even though the league we're in with two tight ends, you know.
Yeah. Would you say of your whole team that was kind of a sleeper pick, essentially, that kind of helped put you over the hump?
Yeah, you know, not that either guys were sleeper players, you know, because obviously they're both big name tight ends and everybody kind of knows who they were. You know, it was just a little, you know, in this league, you know, as well as I do, as big as it is when it's 20 teams, you've got to try something. You know, it's just one of those things. I mean, you can't have the same draft strategy as everybody else and expect to win the league because there's just too many people. So, you know, you're willing, you know, early in the year, you know, you're willing to try things. You know, and I mean, to be fair, I didn't have the best regular season. You know, I mean, I ended up, you know, where I needed to go. And, you know, that's the thing. I mean, obviously all you need to do is get in. But I think, what was I? I was the eighth. Was I the eighth seed? I think I was the last seed.
Oh.
So, I got in as number eight. And I had to go through, you know, I beat Secret Squirrel, who was number one coming in. You know, I got past him in the first round. Then I had to beat the, I think it was the third or the fourth seeded team. And then, you know, I ended up going up against Greg, who was seated ahead of me as well. So, yeah, it was, you know, an uphill battle. And, you know, one of the things that really helped me is, you know, Greg and I, you know, we talk at work, obviously. On Friday we were talking, and I had kind of told him, you know, I was going to play Andy Dalton because I didn't think Ben Roethlisberger was going to play. And he told me it didn't matter to him. He was going to stick with Le'Veon Bell. You know, he thought Pittsburgh would play him. He wasn't worried about it. You know, no big deal. So he didn't go out and look for another running back. He didn't do anything like that. He left Le'Veon Bell in a starting lineup, and Le'Veon Bell didn't play. The Steelers decided to rest him. So, you know, that was a big plus. But, you know, that was a decision he made, and you know, I know that's why a lot of people hate playing a fantasy league that runs to the end of the season. But, you know, to me, again, it just makes it more challenging.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, the funny thing is if Le'Veon Bell would have went out and had a huge day, you know, it could have swung the whole thing. I only beat him by 30 points. So, you know, one good running back day or one great running back day could have been 30 points.
Yeah, but how much more fun would it have been if he would have scored 29.8 points, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that would have made it even more fun. You know, I would have got a bigger kick out of that. But,
you know, as far as the season goes, I do think as far as the medals go for each league, I think I did earn a win by the highest margin and a win by the lowest margin. Or maybe that was a loss by the lowest margin.
So, yeah, and to be fair, I honestly, I don't know who this is, but in the Snake League, the team with the name of Monk's Marauders won the title, and their manager's name is Ken. So just to give Ken. Yeah, has he?
Yeah, he's been with us for a while. I don't know how long.
Yeah, and you were, I believe you were the only one to make the playoffs in that league. I don't think, oh no, Mr. Fantasy
I
did.
Both.
He got, you guys both ended up getting knocked out in the first round. You lost to Earl, and he lost to Monk's Marauder, so he lost to the champ there. So, yeah, at least, you know, at least you guys got in. You know, I finished 10th there. Yeah, I ate the 10th spot in that league. So, you know, we'll see. Better luck next year. You know, again, that was my league that I would, that was the league, like I said, I was supposed to dominate in according to my draft.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So you threw in the towel once you got your grade, right?
Yeah. Oh, I knew once the grade came out. Yeah. I knew I was done. So, you know, we'll see. Next year I'm going to draft to get a, you know, a C or a D so I can possibly, you know, win the league.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I think one of the issues, you know, like you said, you're having with a wide receiver coming from the Jets. You know, Forte seemed to have a great start to the year, but to me, it seemed like the Jets didn't really know what they were what their game plan was. Almost like the Bears. Are you a running team? Are you a passing team? Are you using a tight end? What are you guys doing? Do you even know what you're doing? And I wonder, you know,
yeah.
I know I can't base the whole season on Matt Forte, but do you think that kind of plays into, you know, if you were to draft like Matt Forte or, you know, some Bears players or, you know, some other Jets? I know there's a couple other teams out there that, you know, how disappointing when they are going after some Cardinals and that team seems to kind of crumble too.
Yeah, you know, yeah, and that's, you know, that's the thing, like, you know, oddly, you mentioned Cardinals. I bet on Carson Palmer in that league. I waited to take a quarterback in that league, and I went with Carson Palmer. And I thought, well, you know, it's the Cardinals, they throw the ball downfield. You know, shouldn't be a problem at all. He'll be a good pick this late. And, you know, it blew up in my face. You know, and that's, you know, that's one of those things that, you know, you just got to kind of, you know, you got to kind of live with along with the, you know, the injuries and all the stuff that, you know, can really, you know, really take your, you know, your team out of it. And I know, like, the weird thing was, you know, and I'm sure you'll remember, you know, at the beginning of the year, Mr. Fantasy was telling us how running back was a dead position. And, you know, you didn't need running backs to win. But what's weird is I'm looking here and there's David Johnson was the highest scoring player in the Snake League. Ezekiel Elliott was 2. Le'Veon Bell was 4. DeMarco Murray was 5. LeSean McCoy was 6th. Donta Freeman was 7th. LeGarrette Blount was 8th. Melvin Gordon was 9th. And Jordan Howard was 11th before you got to your first wide receiver that he was banking on. So I don't know if I agree with him. You know what I mean? Think about what a steal Jordan Howard was. I'm willing to bet he probably wasn't drafted because he wasn't listed as the Bears starter. But what a huge waiver wire pickup he would have been. They said they had him projected at 181st. I don't know if I believe that because they say Matt Ryan was 122. But, yeah, imagine the steal Howard was if you picked him up off the waiver wire and he finished as the 12th highest scorer in our league.
Pretty nice.
But I know, you know, like we talked about it. Did you have first pick in this draft? And you took Antonio Brown?
In the Snake, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and if you look at it now, Brown, you know, he had a good year for you. He had 287 fantasy points, actually 287.31. Finished 13th. Imagine if you'd have taken David Johnson, who had 466.05. But, you know, everybody was convinced going in that, you know, running backs were the guys to stay away from.
Yeah,
so,
well, I mean,
you know, we all kind of ran away from them.
Well, and, I mean, I heard that too, listening to other guys, you know, locally here, fantasy
yeah.
experts. But I think the thing that killed me, though, is Pittsburgh, you know, I forget the coach's name and I forget who calls him soft. I think that was Terry. Bradshaw calling him a soft coach. But I don't know. I feel like there were days when he just decided, I'm not going to start. I'm not going to play him. I'm not going to use him. You know, didn't put a press conference, didn't say it. Because there was weeks where I'm sitting there going, why aren't you throwing into Antonio Brown? You know, I'm watching Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, and I'm sitting there baffled because I'm supposed to be watching the team with my number one, you know, the number one pick of the whole league, and he's sitting on the sidelines watching the game.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking. There we go. I finally – my top running back in the Snake League finished 24th. So that's part of the other reason I missed the playoffs. You at least had, you know, Matt Forte finished in the top 20. But yeah, you know, just you know, again, when you listen to these guys, you know, you gotta kind of be able to work, you know, your own judgment in. You know, because when, you know, you look at this board, I mean, just to have one of these guys, you know, over 300 points, you know, that's huge. So, you know, it'll probably make me rethink my, you know, my draft strategy for next year. And, you know, and of course, you know, a lot depends on where you pull the pick, because sometimes, you know, if you don't end up high enough, you can't get a running back. But yeah, I may shuffle my board a little next year and, you know, not buy the Mr. Fantasy hype, because I remember him telling me running backs were devalued.
But why?
So, yeah, I don't remember what his reasoning were, but I remember us going, you know, back and forth on it. And, you know, the rankings showed, you know, the top three guys coming in, you know, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham Jr., and Julio Jones. Well, Brown was the best out of all of them. He finished 13th overall. Beckham ended up 19th, and Jones ended up 33rd. You know, the big bust, and I'm glad I didn't end up with him, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, who was a guy I really liked, 7th overall, they were so bad he ended up 97th. So, but yeah, just kind of, you know, you wonder, you know, how things go. And, you know, when you look at it, you know, I'll have to remember next year not to, you know, jump up and down and listen to all the kind of, you know, goofs when they tell you you don't need a top-notch running back to win your fantasy league. So,
do you think part of it is because no one thought any of these guys were going to be? You know, just think about the first couple of names you put out there with LeSean McCoy, Elliott, you know, just to name two off the top of my tongue.
Yeah, you know, they were down on a lot of those guys. I know, to be fair, everybody was really high on David Johnson. Oddly, I was the guy who wasn't as high on him as everybody else, and he went out and had a great season. But, yeah, you know, well, you know, and obviously, you know, Elliott is a rookie. You know, you run into, you know, he's a little unproven, but he's behind a good offensive line. You know, yeah, again, McCoy, nobody liked McCoy for some reason. I was the only guy who liked LeSean McCoy. I don't know, maybe it was the injury last year, however it worked out. But, you know, I liked him. And obviously, you know, Le'Veon Bell, you had to deal with the suspension. So, you know, there was kind of a lot of stuff that, you know, went into it. But, I don't know. I want to make sure, though, Dan, we get your picks in here today, because I know I believe the Blackhawks are back on the ice. I think they got a back-to-back going on. So, oh, no, I think they play tomorrow. Okay, but either way, I want to get your picks in here. So since we started with the NHL earlier, let's just stick with it. Not a not too many games. We got the Buffalo Sabres at the New York Rangers, the Toronto Maple Leafs at the Washington Capitals, the New Jersey Devils at the Carolina Hurricane, the Edmonton Oilers at the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Winnipeg Jets at the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Montreal Canadiens at the Nashville Predators, and the Los Angeles Kings at the San Jose Sharks. Pretty obvious where we're going here, Dan. Toronto's at Washington. You got the Capitals to start off the year. I know Toronto's been playing some good hockey, but you're a Washington guy. You sticking with them tonight to start your year off?
They're at home. You don't want to go against them at home.
No, it's always tough to do that. So, all right, we'll throw Washington in there. Let me hunt the NBA schedule up. I know we didn't get to talk much basketball today. We're saving that for tomorrow, right, when the Bulls play the Cavaliers, that big matchup?
Of course.
Oh. all right, the game that's already underway, the Philadelphia 76ers are leading the Minnesota Timberwolves 17-12. NBA TV, the first game is the Utah Jazz at the Boston Celtics. We also have the Indiana Pacers at the Detroit Pistons, the Washington Wizards at the Dallas Mavericks, the Toronto Raptors at the San Antonio Spurs, the Sacramento Kings at the Denver Nuggets, the Miami Heat at the Phoenix Suns, and the second game on NBA TV is the Memphis Grizzlies at the Los Angeles Lakers. Oh, let's see. Well, we tried one Washington team. Let's try the other one here, Dan. The Wizards are at the Mavericks tonight. You like the Wiz tonight, or are you going with Dallas? Your guy Dirk Nowitzki in Dallas.
I'm going with Dirk. Let's go Dirk.
Okay. And then let's run a second one because this is a pretty good matchup. The Toronto Raptors on the road in San Antonio to take on the Spurs. Now, I don't know if any of the Spurs are sitting, Dan. Probably not because it's not on national television. But who you got winning that game?
Spurs.
Okay. I thought you were thinking about it there, and you might go with the big upset and go with Toronto on the road pulling one off. But that could actually be a pretty good game. Toronto's in Canada, they're always a little underrated. So they don't get the pull.
Well,
but they always end up with a pretty good record. Probably not. It's on the road. I think he just goes to home games.
Oh, no. I thought you said they were at home.
No, they're on the road. They're in San Antonio tonight. So could be a tough one. We'll have to see how that works out for him. But all right, the music means that it's time for Dan and I to head out. Corey, we're coming back tomorrow, 5:35. We'll be here to do it all again. Begin with the deal while we're away, even though it's been a while. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out all the cool stuff over there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. First, jump on and follow the Twitter feed at sportstimeradio. Now, Dan's picks will come up there. Or don't forget, you can see them at Dan Z Man with E's in that. He's got the Capitals over the Maple Leafs. He's going with the Mavericks over the Wizards, though, and he likes the Spurs to beat the Raptors tonight. Let him know what you think of your picks. Again, thanks for listening live, and don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.